The title of the message is The Uniqueness of Christ. You know that Jesus Christ, He is unlike anyone else. He is unique. Jesus was the most remarkable baby ever born. And although the exact date of His birth is not known, His birth divided history into two parts, B.C., before Christ, and A.D., the year of our Lord. If you study the life of Christ, you will understand that He had no formal education as we know it today. There was no university, there was no technical college, no high school, no grammar school. Of course, He was educated. The Bible says He grew in wisdom. He was educated very much so at home, very much so by the rabbis. But no university, no degree as such, like we would understand today. So no formal education, yet thousands of universities, colleges, and schools have been founded in His name. He never wrote a book, yet more books have been written about Him than about anyone else in history, and I'm excited about that. To my knowledge, as I read the scriptures, Jesus never painted a picture. He did draw something or write something in the sand on one occasion. We don't know what it was. But He never painted a picture. And here's the point. He never composed music or wrote poetry, but nobody has been the subject of more songs, plays, poetry, pictures, films, videos, and other art forms. He is unique. And except for one brief period during His childhood, His travels were limited to an area the size of Wales. But today, the influence of the Lord Jesus Christ is worldwide. Hallelujah. He set foot in only two countries, but today His followers are found in every land and every nation throughout the world. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but was commonly known as Jesus of Nazareth, where He was brought up in a home, the home of the carpenter called Joseph, and Joseph's wife was Mary. Now, humanly speaking, the odds against His future becoming important, famous, were not very high. Because you see, Nazareth had a bad reputation. In fact, someone said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" No one living there would be considered for a job elsewhere. Yet in the 20th century alone, Jesus generated some 1,000 biographies, while the Encyclopedia Britannica carries a 30,000 word entry under His name. Question: why is there this great interest in Jesus Christ? Hopefully, most of what we know about His life is recorded in the world's most reliable history book, the Bible. The world's number one bestseller still. Hallelujah. The scientist, Sir Isaac Newton, called it a rock, called the Bible a rock, from which all the hammers of criticism have never chipped a single fragment. I like that. So important, I'll say it properly this time. The scientist, Sir Isaac Newton, he called the Bible a rock, from which all the hammers of criticism have never chipped a single fragment. I like that, don't you? And among all the 60 billion plus people that have ever lived on earth, Jesus is unique. Question: why is Christ, and the word Christ means anointed one, why is Jesus Christ, Savior, anointed one, so unique? I have a few things, and I'm not going to be long on any one of them. Firstly, his pre-existence was unique. Jesus existed before he was born. Did you know that? Jesus existed before he was born. The life of Jesus did not begin in the womb of Mary, nor in the stable of Bethlehem, at Bethlehem. In John 1 and verse 1, and Alicia will be reading this evening, God willing. In John 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." You can put the word Jesus in there. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. He was God the Son. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus was the Creator. All things were created by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus existed before he was born, before he was manifest. We talk about the incarnation, God becoming man. And when Mary held that little baby in her arms, you mamas, do you realize when she looked at that little baby boy and bent down and kissed him on the cheek, she was kissing God. Hallelujah. We have a lovely song and a video tonight, "Mary, Did You Know?" And I can hardly wait to hear it again. It's a beautiful song. And I was at a carol service last night in Brentwood, and they sang it there. "Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know?" All the things that the songwriter's asking, did you realize this, Mary? And did you realize that? And there's this lovely line, and you'll hear it tonight, God willing. "And the one that you've delivered, he's going to deliver you." Not marvelous? The little baby that she delivered was the one that was going to be the Savior of the world. And he's going to be Mary's Savior. And he was going to be the one that would deliver her. I think it's such a beautiful line. The one that you've delivered is the one that will deliver you. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so glad to be a Christian and have these lovely thoughts that God gives to us. And then on one occasion, Jesus was confronting the religious leaders around him. And he said, look in John 8 verse 58, he said, "Before Abraham was," finish it, "I am." He is the great I am, not the I was. He's the great I am. When I first came to this church, there was an E missing, and it said Jesus Christ the Son, yesterday, today, and forever. I'm so glad they put an E there. He's the same. He's not the I was. He's not the I will be. He's the I am. What he was, he is. What he is, he ever will be. The stories you read in the Bible, the miracles he did, hallelujah, he's the same today. Do you need a miracle? Then Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is impossible with him. He loves you. He had a plan for you before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. You are not a waste of space. You are, people might have said, you never amount to anything. That is a lie of the devil. You'll amount to something great because God said so. God said you are the head and not the tail. God said you're above only and you are not beneath. And God says in his word, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Hallelujah. Amen. If I had time, I could just get really excited. But I want to get through as much as possible this morning. So that's number one, and you can expand on that. But his pre-existence was unique. Number two, his conception was unique. The conception of Jesus Christ was unique. Oh, he was born in the normal way. And what was unique was not how he left his mother's womb, but how he entered it. When Jesus was conceived, the Bible says his mother Mary was a virgin. She had never known sexual intimacy. And that was affirmed at least three times by a doctor by the name of Luke. And we have a record of what Luke wrote. And it's in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Again, it will be read this evening. The Bible says in Luke 1, 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. And she cast in her mind what manner of salutation or greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Verse 34, Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man, a term to describe sexual intimacy. I've never been intimate with a man. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I am a virgin. Verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, shall come upon me, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. In Matthew 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, While she was still a virgin, Mary became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. This conception was to be a biological miracle. Mary was a virgin, and the Bible says she remained a virgin until after the birth of Jesus. Matthew 1 verse 25, the Bible says, Joseph knew her not. He had no sexual relationships with Mary until, the Bible says, she had brought forth her firstborn son. And I'm sure, friends, many of you are Bible students, and you will know that there is the promise of the birth of Jesus way back in Genesis. Genesis 3:15, the Bible talks about how that Jesus would be the seed of the woman. Stop right there. That's a biological miracle. Because women do not carry seeds. Women carry eggs. Men carry seeds. But Jesus was different. Jesus was to be the seed of the woman, fertilized by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus is unique in his conception. Praise the Lord. Thirdly, his miracles were unique. I listed a few and I might have missed some. These are the ones that came to mind. His miracles were unique. He turned water into wine. He multiplied a very small amount of food on two occasions. One occasion he fed 5,000. Another occasion 7,000. And on each occasion there were many baskets of food left over. Enough and to spare. That's the type of God that we serve, you know. I'm not here to preach about tithing this morning, but I do believe in it. And God says, if you will bring the tithes, the offerings into my house, there'll be meat in my house, there'll be something there to do my work and to help people. And then he says, and I will open the windows of heaven, and I'll pour out such a blessing that you'll not have room for it. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. What a mighty, generous God. He's not stingy. He's a generous God, and he loves you. You say, oh, Pastor Jim, it's all right for you because you ministers, but it's different for us. No, I'm human. I put my trousers on one leg at a time, just like you. I do believe it or not. I lost my first wife, bless her. She went to be with Jesus, 1983, and God blessed me with another wife, Ruth, 1987. We've been together. Poor Ruth fell in the end of August, fractured her femur. And today, thank God, she said, she kissed goodbye to the Zimmer frame and kissed goodbye to the crutches. And you just see her now with a little stick, just tapping the floor gently. And at home, many times, she's there without anything at all. Praise the Lord. So, Father, I give you thanks for Ruth's healing. What you've done, you're complete. Hallelujah. And she saw the x-ray the other day. And she saw the x-ray of how the femur head looked, the femoral head looked when she fractured it. You know, the zigzag line. And then the x-ray that was taken just in the last few weeks. And absolutely no trace whatever of a fracture. Hallelujah. God was good. All the time. And I'll be singing tonight, so bring your earplugs. But I'll be singing tonight, and Ruth's going to be playing for me. Probably the first time since I've been here at the church. And that's a miracle that you'll be able to play the piano, because you know you have to press the soft pedal and all of that. So praise the Lord. So the miracles of Jesus were unique. Miracles of turning water into wine. Miracles of multiplication of food with much left over. And then he raised the dead, and he cleansed the lepers, and he gave sight to the blind, and he gave hearing to the deaf, and he gave the dumb the ability to speak, and he gave total mobility to a man that hadn't walked for 38 years. He healed a woman who had been unable to straighten up for 18 years. He healed another woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years. Hallelujah. And for 3 years, in his earthly ministry, the Bible says he destroyed the works of the devil. He cast out demons and he set people free. And the good news is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus Christ. Will you say it with me this morning? Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. You need a miracle? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Need a miracle, a job, come to Jesus. Partner, come to Jesus. Healing, come to Jesus. To say goodbye to migraines, come to Jesus. Say goodbye to bellyache, knee-ache. I'm almost bursting into song. You know. Maybe he won't connect it to that. Whatever's hurting. Whatever needs healing. Jesus can do it. He can do it because he's the same. Hallelujah. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. At the name of Jesus, every sickness must bow. Hallelujah. Be encouraged this morning. Go home with that message in your heart that the God of the Bible is the same God today. What he did do, he still does. Nothing's too hard for him. Nothing's impossible for him. He loves you. You're not an accident. Or your parents might say, he was a surprise. We didn't plan for him, but God did.
Amen.
We didn't plan for her, but God did.
Amen.
We wanted a boy and we got a girl. Parents should never say that, because I believe God is the great family planner. He knew what he was doing. He was the one that put all those cells together. He produced what he wanted. He wanted a boy, he wanted a girl, tough. It's what he wanted. Not all about me. The song doesn't say, it's all about me. The song says, it's all about you, Jesus. Amen. Must move on quickly. How are we doing? Number four. His character was unique. Let me say, in case I forget. When you become a child of God, when you're born again, when you come to know Jesus, you know what? The Bible says you become a partaker of the divine nature. You become like Jesus. Did you know that? The Bible says we are being transformed into his image. We're being conformed into his image. I hope this morning you're like Jesus. I hope when people see you, they see Jesus in you. As I said earlier, I conduct funeral services over in the Enfield area. I do them on behalf of the co-op funeral care home. And I meet families. In the last 2 years, I've conducted about 100 funerals. Not one family is a Christian family. Many of them say to me when I arrive at the home to arrange the service, "Before you begin, Father," sometimes I put my collar on, "before you begin, Vicar, we're not religious." And I surprise them because I say, "That's good, because neither am I." And they think, "Collar, shirt, he's not religious." Then I explain. Religion causes many problems, but you know what? I came to know Jesus when I was 18 years of age. And I don't have much time for religion. What I have with Jesus is relationship. And I move right along. And they probably think, "Oh, I haven't heard that one before." And the reason I mention that is because I do my best when in that home. And on the day of the funeral, and there might be 100 or more people at that service, I do my best to be a good representative of Jesus Christ. The Bible says I'm an ambassador, and so are you if you're a child of God. See, they can't see God. I can't paint a picture of him. But I can show him what he's like by my life. And so can you. So, the character of Jesus was unique. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible says Jesus knew no sin. 1 Peter 2:22, Jesus did no sin. 1 John 3:5, in him is no sin. And thank you for the work you're doing on my behalf back there with the overheads. John 8:46, the Bible says Jesus confronted his religious critics with this question. He looked at them straight in the face and he said, "Which one of you convinces me of sin?" And they all became dummies, because not one could say, "Ah." And you know something? Jesus asked that question all those years ago. No one could point a finger at a man. No one can point a finger at him now. He is the sinless, spotless Son of God. Pilate twice said, "I find no fault in him." Neither do I. And I've known him since I was 18. John 19:4. John 19:6. "I find no fault in him." Matthew 27:4. Judas said, he said, "I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood." Luke 23:47. The Bible says, the centurion at the cross said, "Certainly this was a righteous man." Number five. His death was unique. The death of Christ was unique. Jesus knew no sin, did no sin, had no sin. Question: why on earth was he crucified? Answer: Isaiah 53 verse 5. You can say it with me if you know it. Of course, you'll be reading from here, so I'd better look at that in a moment, and it's about to make its way there. There it is. Just like that, see? Thank you. Who's on that? Oh, Mr. O'Neill. Taking me weeks to get that name right, but I've got it in the end. I've been calling him Mr. O for many weeks. He was wounded. Here's the answer. He was wounded for our, you say it with me, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Praise the Lord. That's the answer. That's why Jesus died. That's why he went to the cross. His death is unique. Let's carry on. Verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I can't hear your voices. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a shearer before her shearers is dumb, so that he opened not his mouth. But the key there is verse 5 and verse 6. He was wounded for our transgressions. A lovely old song says, He went to the cross for me. He went to the cross for me. On the cross crucified for me he died. He went to the cross for me. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for taking our place. His death was unique. He knew no sin. No, he died for your sin. He died to pay the penalty for my sin. The Bible describes it. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The Bible says, God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Sixthly, his resurrection was unique. Hallelujah! Did you say amen then?
Yes.
It wasn't loud enough. His resurrection was unique.
Yes.
Oh, that's it. That's it. You can't say a statement like that and just be content with, oh man. No, it's exciting. The Bible records the stories of a few people being brought back to life. But the reality is they all died again, didn't they? They all died again. All the people who were brought back to life died again. But Jesus cannot die again. He's the resurrection. He's the life. Hallelujah. The Bible says death no longer has power over him. Years ago, I remember I went to the Albert Hall in London. They used to have the denomination I served in, another Pentecostal. It was a Pentecostal denomination. Always took the Albert Hall on Easter Monday. And I remember going from my first church, which was in Englefield Green in Surrey, and I went to the Royal Albert Hall. And in those days, you could sit anywhere. Place was packed to capacity. And I remember coming in from a little church of about 30 people and being in amongst all those people. My mouth must have been, as I looked at the crowd, and I thought to myself, wow, what must heaven be like? Because this is only a little crowd compared with heaven. How do I know there'll be a lot in heaven? Because John says in the book of Revelation, he says, I saw a number that no man could number. Hallelujah. And I remember in those days, and on that first occasion, and they sang it many years after, they sang this lovely song, Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Then it says, death could not keep its prey. He tore the bars away. And then we would sing, up from the grave he arose, etc. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor over the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. Hallelujah! Christ arose! Hallelujah! Any of you young people know that hymn? Young Arnold does. He arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor o'er the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. And we used to hit the rafters. He arose up again. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose once more up from the grave. He arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor o'er the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose. He arose. There's a song for all of you that are connected to the internet. There's a song by the Kerrys, P-R-Y-S. And it's it's called If You Knew Him. Try and find it. It's great. It says this. I love this. I walked by the tomb of Buddha, looked inside and saw his bones. Traveled on to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to the garden where old Joseph left him lay. But the precious Lamb of God, God's only Son, was no longer in the grave. Hallelujah! Oh, the grave now is empty. The stone is rolled away, and Christ is alive in my heart. And death, which is conquered in me, has no part, for Christ is alive in my heart. Anybody know that one?
Yes.
You do? Young Arnold again. Only the youth department know these songs. I hadn't got time to sing it, otherwise I would. Another time. Eliska and I will work on that. And we'll teach this young girl some of these lovely songs. I'm not going to call them old songs. They're dynamic truths. They really are. Acts 1 verse 3, the Bible says, Jesus showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible, indisputable, by many infallible proofs. He was seen of the disciples for 40 days. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3, Paul says, I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He was seen by Peter, then by the 12. He was seen of about 500 brethren at once. Verse 7, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen by me. Number seven. Seventhly, his return is unique. Buddha's not coming back. With respect, Muhammad is not coming back. Lenin is not coming back. But hallelujah, Jesus is coming back. Yeah. Hallelujah! Yeah. One of these days, people will say, look, look, look! And as they're pointing up, suddenly they'll be transported into the sky. That's what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 13. There'll be the sound of a trumpet, there'll be a shout, and suddenly, up we'll go, praise the Lord, and we won't need Ryanair. Or EasyJet. Wonderful, exciting, isn't it? Hallelujah. He's coming back. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house so many mansions, dwelling places. If it were not so, and I told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Acts 1:11. The disciples are watching Jesus as he ascends back to the Father after the cross, after the resurrection. He goes back to the Father, and they watch him go, and they're standing. And two men in white robes said, Why are you standing gazing up into heaven? And then these words, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go. Jesus went up to heaven in a physical body. He's coming again in a physical body. Hallelujah. The Bible says the Lord himself, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, all those people, all those relatives of yours and mine who knew Jesus, have already died, have already fallen asleep in him, the Bible says they will be raised first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Pilate once asked this question, what will I do, or what shall I do with Jesus? The crowd shouted back, crucify him! We will not have this man to rule over us. And just now, as you're listening to the sound of my voice, I have to ask you this question. What will you do with Jesus? Will you receive him as your Savior and your Lord? He's the only Savior. Will you receive him today? If you don't know him already, will you let this Christmas be the first Christmas when you can say with millions throughout the world, "Oh, I like Christmas because I know the reason for the season. The reason for the season is the birthday of my Savior, Jesus Christ." Let me say this in closing, and then I think Arnold has a couple of announcements. If you reject Jesus, you'll be rejecting the only one who can save you. For the Bible says there is salvation in no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved. If you reject Jesus, you're rejecting the one who the Bible says is the only way to God. And that's John 14:6. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man can come to the Father except through me." If you're rejecting the only one who can give you a new life, a new start, give you total forgiveness, give you hope. I ran out of hope once, tried to end my life. We heard the other night in the prayer meeting, a man with a family, a lovely wife and two small children, jumped off one of the bridges in Dartford and ended his life. Why? Run out of hope. But Jesus said, "Look, I've come to give you life. I've come to give you hope." The Bible says, "Christ in you, he's the hope." Hope not just for this life, but hope beyond. Hope beyond the hearse. Hope beyond the grave. Hallelujah. You reject Jesus, you're rejecting the one who can give you peace. Peace, oh, peace is precious. Peace within yourself, peace with God, peace. What if you receive Jesus? Well, if you receive him, you receive total forgiveness. And you'll be given a new life, you'll be given hope, you'll be given peace, you'll be given joy. Because Jesus, this unique personality, the Son of the Living God. Hallelujah.